This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We're listening to courtroom audio and specific testimonies from the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. ISP fire expert David Sincerbo testified in the Lori Vallow Daybell trial on the 27th. Let's take a listen to his testimony.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you introduce yourself to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury and spell your last name?
My name is David Sincerbo, and my last name is spelled S-I-N-C-E-R-B-E-A-U-X.
Okay. Sir, how are you employed?
Currently, I'm retired from the Idaho State Police. I actually am umpiring softball for Northern Idaho.
So before you retired and you worked at the lab, what did you do at the Idaho State Lab?
My primary job was to analyze controlled substances, but I also did fire debris analysis, and I've been doing that for 26 years.
What was your educational background before starting at the lab?
I have a bachelor's of science degree in chemistry from Cal State Northridge, and I was an analytical chemist since 1985.
Okay. So what is an analytical chemist?
Basically, I test either evidence or other substances for particular chemical substances.
So in your background as an analytical chemist, were you always at the Idaho State Lab?
No, I was not.
Where were you before that?
I worked in Southern California as an environmental chemist for two different corporations.
Okay. And in that capacity, what did you do?
Primarily for that is I was, since it was environmental, I did anything from pesticides, but our main focus was underground storage tanks. So I did a lot of gasoline and diesel, basically stuff from gas stations.
Okay. And in your capacity as an analytical chemist throughout your career, have you ever had a chance in your experience to examine fire debris?
Yes.
What have you done with that?
For the last 10 years or so at Idaho State Police, we tested things for suspected arson cases.
Okay. And you also talked about doing a chemical analysis. What do you mean by chemical analysis?
We use a variety of instruments and or wet chemistry techniques to analyze evidence for the presence of ignitable liquids.
Okay. Throughout the years, do you have any idea of how many items or pieces of evidence that you have examined for the presence of chemicals?
For both fire debris and?
Yes.
Tens of thousands.
Okay. Of that group, have you ever had a chance to look for the presence of gasoline?
Yes.
Okay. What process do you use to look for gasoline in items?
What we do is once the evidence gets into our possession, I'll walk you through the whole thing. The first thing we do is we check to make sure, or when I receive it, I check to make sure that it's in a sealed condition. If for some reason it is not, we have the option of either returning it to the agency, or if it's a minor thing such as, let's say there was a missing piece of evidence tape or something like that, we can put that on and we'll just note that in our notes. Once we do that, we bring it back to our lab bench area. If it's typically it's going to come in a friction lid can, which is basically a paint can. We will open that up, make a quick observation of what it looks like, what's on the inside. From there, we'll put in a small strip of activated charcoal. We basically suspend that in the can. Once we reseal it, we put it back in an oven. We cook it for about 4 hours at 70 degrees centigrade, which is about 160 degrees Fahrenheit. Once it's done baking, we basically take it out, let it cool to room temperature. We will then extract the carbon strip that is in there. We put that carbon strip in a little glass vial, add some solvent to it. That solvent we then inject onto an instrument called a GCMS, and that will tell us what compounds may or may not be present.
Okay. So in Idaho State Lab, lab number 2020-2233, Did you examine item 17 submitted by the Rexburg Police Department as part of your duties at the Idaho State Lab?
Yes, I did.
And do you recall what item 17 was?
It was a pint-sized can that contained some decomposing flesh and other debris.
Okay. What analysis did you do of item 17 from the Rexburg Police Department of the decomposing flesh and debris?
Like I just previously stated, I put in a charcoal strip, sealed up the can, baked it, and then extracted the strip and then ran it on a GCMS.
Okay. And that item 17 was from the Rexburg Police Department with the names associated of Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow, and J.J. Vallow, amongst others?
That is correct.
Okay. And so when you examined item 17 and you did your chemical analysis, what results, if any, did you get of that decomposing flesh?
In that can contained gasoline.
Okay. And the item, when you say in that can, was that the flesh in the can?
The gasoline that we actually analyze, when we heat it up, it basically, if there's any volatile liquids, they will become a vapor. They will then attach to it. Whether it was in or on the flesh or in the other debris that was in that can, I have no idea from whence the source was. It's just in that can contained gasoline.
Okay. Thank you. I have nothing further.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Smith. Mr. Thomas, cross-examination.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Schnitzerbaugh.
Good morning.
you indicate that you are an analytical chemist.
That is correct.
And you used to work for the ISP, and now you're an umpire?
Yes.
So your specific task was to see if there was gasoline present in the debris that was sent to you?
Basically for any ignitable liquids, gasoline or other.
Okay. And other being something like propane or kerosene or something like that?
Not so much propane. Propane, since that'd be a gas, but
yeah,
it's going to be, you know, paint thinners or basically up to diesel.
Okay. And you said you put this into, it came in a paint can. Was it a 1 gallon paint can, or do you recall? I guess I should ask, do you recall?
It was a pint.
One pint.
Yes.
And there are 4 pints in a gallon, is that right? I don't know.
Actually, no, there's 4 quarts in a gallon.
Okay.
And I think there's 2 pints per a quart.
So it's very small can.
Yeah, about that big around.
Okay.
So, yeah, not very big.
So, okay. So I'm thinking about when I go to the store to buy paint. I know the gallon size, what it looks like. And then the next size down is either the pint or the quart.
That would be the quart. And then there's the smaller one, which is
kind of like a test.
For the layman, if you were having a small one that you wanted to see if the paint was going to look good on your wall, you'd buy that one and
gotcha.
See if it looked right.
And that's the one that came to you? That's the size that came to you?
Correct.
Great. Okay. That makes sense. And then you popped off the top of it. And how full of that particular can was this substance in there?
I don't recall exactly when we give advice to the people who are actually taking the samples for it. We want at least, as much as kind of we can get, but we want to have some head space, so we want it about 3/4 full. And if I vaguely remember, it was probably about 1/2 to 3/4 full.
Okay. And the prosecutor, Ms. Smith, indicated that it was flesh. I believe she said flesh. Did she say flesh that was in there?
I believe,
do you recall?
I believe so. I think that's what I put down in my notes, was that and other debris.
Okay. And I guess the other debris is what I'm looking for. How much of the other debris was it as opposed to the flesh type thing?
I don't recall exactly.
Okay.
Probably 50-50.
Okay.
I guess.
So 50% dirt and other stuff, and then 50% of the flesh.
Correct.
All right. And then you put an activated charcoal strip?
Correct.
And is that, I guess I know what activated charcoal is. It's just like charcoal, right? But what does the strip look like? What are we looking at?
To be exact, it's 100 square millimeters. That's basically a small little strip. It's about a half inch, three-quarter inch long and about a quarter inch wide.
Okay.
And it's a polymer that has the activated charcoal embedded in it.
Okay. And is it kind of flexible like a piece of paper, or is it more hard like a piece of wood?
More flexible.
More flexible, okay.
Sort of like construction paper.
And do you like suspend it somehow with a piece of string or something? I don't know how you do that.
What we actually use is Christmas tree ornaments, hangers, and we just stick it through and then bend it and put it in through the lip of the can and then put the lid on, and it basically suspends on one end of the hanger.
Okay. But you don't want it to touch the actual substance that's in there, right?
You try not to.
Try not to touch it. Okay. And then you said you put it in a GCMS. For the layperson, that is a gas chromatograph mass spectrometer. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right. You're just putting a little charcoal strip in there, right?
We actually put the solvent. We take the charcoal strip, put that in a glass vial, add some solvent, which it happens to be solvent called carbon disulfide. We will put that. Okay. And then we put the charcoal strip in there, and then we add a solvent, which is carbon disulfide.
All right. And so and that solvent is how much of that solvent goes into the GCMS?
Into the actual GCMS, we inject 1 microliter.
Okay. And so if that were in a syringe, how much of a how much? What would it look like to a layperson, like somebody on the jury? What would that look like?
It's not a lot. It's if you had a drop of water, it's about a tenth of a drop of water.
Okay, and so does that go on a slide, like a glass slide?
No. I'll explain really briefly what a GCMS and how it works.
Sure.
The GCMS, the gas chromatograph, is a fancy temperature-controlled oven that has a column that's on the inside. What happens is when we inject that small amount of liquid, it hits an injection port that is at about 280 degrees centigrade, which basically flashes it and makes it a vapor. That vapor is then swept along through that column, and then it will separate out organic molecules primarily by molecular weight, meaning small, lightweight ones come through faster, heavier ones take more time. Once it has done that separation, it then goes into the mass spectrometer, which is a detector, which takes that organic molecule, hits it with a bunch of electrons, it basically fragments it, and we collect the fragmentation, we get a pattern. We compare that pattern to known standards, and that's how we make our identification. In the case of gasoline, we are looking for a wide variety of compounds that are indicative of gasoline, and if they're present, we compare that to our known set of standards, and that's how we make our identification.
Okay. And isn't it true that you can actually tell which particular companies are producing this particular type of gas?
No.
You can't.
Some people in our field will claim they can do that. I do not believe that ISP or realistically anyone else has that ability. We don't perform that at ISP. Just to me, I think it's unreliable.
Okay. So you weren't able to identify any specific detergents that might be associated with Chevron or any type of compounds that Shell says that we have this particular compound in our gasoline.
And for ISP, no, we do not.
Okay. And so the bottom line is you found gasoline in that debris and or flesh, right?
That is correct.
Okay. You weren't able to quantify how much gasoline based on an extrapolation formula or something like that?
No, it's just, it had all of the components of gasoline.
Okay. So it could have been anywhere between just a little bit to a whole bunch.
Correct. I mean, okay. It's basically enough for me to detect that there was gasoline present.
All right. Thank you. No further questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
And there's no redirect, Your Honor. May this witness be excused?
Any objection to excusing the witness?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you for your appearance. Mr. Sincerbo, you can be excused.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
That was ISP fire expert David Sincerbo testifying in the trial of Lori Vallow-Daybell. We have more courtroom audio for you. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.